In the summer of 1961, Joan Namath arrived at the University of Alabama wearing a skin-tight, one-piece brown-checked suit, a straw fedora, and faux Ray-Ban sunglasses. Legendary Alabama head coach Paul Bear Bryant hadn't yet met his future star, so he invited the young quarterback up to his tower overlooking the practice field. It was a gesture so unprecedented that we're still talking about it 62 years later. The scene forms the beginning of Randy Roberts and Ed Krasinski's new book, Rising Tide, and it might as well be the start of our conversation as well. Randy and Ed, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you. Thanks.
Ed, Joan Namath wasn't even expected in Alabama that summer. He planned to be walking onto a practice field in Maryland instead. What happened?
At this time, it was a time when colleges were raising their academic standards, and all of the colleges, frankly, that Joe had been offered scholarships to, Maryland, Notre Dame, and several others, pulled back their offers. And as a result, Bear Bryant in the Southeastern Conference didn't have these stipulations on his team. And he had heard about Namath and was always enamored with players from Western Pennsylvania. George Blanda had been one of his players. Babe Parilli had been a player. Bryant, in this moment, invites him up into the tower to let the team and the coaches, frankly, know that this guy has his blessings. But behind him, the practice field, you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody looking up, thinking to themselves, oh, my God, this guy got invited up into the tower. Even the coaches didn't go up. If you heard the tower chain rattling, you ran for your life. And this guy's walking up there with a toothpick in his mouth like nothing's going on.
Randy, Bear Bryant actually sent an assistant coach to Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, to recruit Namath and bring him to Tuscaloosa. Was failure ever an option?
Bryant didn't really cotton very much to failure at any level. He took Howard Schnellenberger, and he basically tells Schnellenberger, here, he reaches into his tin of traveling money, and he said, here's some bucks. He gave him a fistful of money and said, now go get them. Bring them down here. Schnellenberger felt, well, this is going to be an easy sell, right? The kid's not going to go to Maryland. He needs a school, and I'll be back with him and probably tomorrow or the day after. Well, it didn't turn out that way. Joe took more convincing than Schnellenberger thought he was going to take. Schnellenberger took less clothes than he thought he was going to need and considerably less funds. Finally gets Joe to go with him, but he passes bad checks all the way back before he can get to Alabama, hoping that he'll get back and put some money in his account so it will clear.
Ed, when Namath was young, his older brother taught him how to throw from the ear, and a local sports reporter made sure the newspapers focused on Namath's on-the-field performance and not his tendency to get into trouble. With the whole town looking after Namath's development as an athlete, was anyone making sure he did his homework or got to school on time?
Periodically, his head football coach at Beaver Falls High School, Larry Bruno, would grab his keys, rush out to his car, drive over to the Namath house, run inside, and Mrs. Namath would gleefully tell Larry Bruno that, Joey's asleep. He had a late night. And Bruno frantically would tell her, Mrs. Namath, if he's not in school today, he can't play in the game tonight. People were taking care of him behind the scenes. Most significantly, I think, or most strangely, the sports writer Joe Tronzo. Joe Namath had only once been arrested as a kid, and it was for breaking into a high school to play basketball. On the arrest report, it was listed as breaking and entering, which is a very serious crime. Tronzo, to make sure that no recruiters found out about this, snuck into the police department when he was on his journalistic rounds and took Namath's arrest report. We later find out that when Alabama was recruiting him, one of the assistant coaches checked on Namath to see if there had been any arrest reports, and he said, no, we didn't find anything. So it was a little bit more than, looking out for him. It was really guaranteeing a future.
Namath's junior season was disappointing, to say the least. Did his troubles on the field have anything to do with how he was expending his energies off the field?
You can never completely divorce the two from one another. Bryant had a wide net. He had a lot of people that supported him, and more often than not, If a kid got in trouble, the idea was that the discipline was meant to be handed down by Coach Bryant and nobody else, and therefore any information would go directly to Coach Bryant. Namath ran afoul in his junior year of somebody that wasn't within Coach Bryant's net. He got suspended from the team for drinking, but really it was for perhaps the accumulation of the sins that led up to that one particular night. In many ways, it's the best thing that could possibly have happened to him. He comes back to the campus, he takes the game seriously once again, and he really redefines himself as a dedicated quarterback.
Despite injuring his knee halfway through his senior season, Namath was drafted 12th in the NFL and 2nd in the AFL, but he saved his best college performance for the 1965 Orange Bowl.
This is the first game played in living color. I don't know if you can remember the peacock. I can. But played in living color on prime time. The Orange Bowl in 1964, 5.5 million people watched the game. In 1965, 25 million people watched it on prime time. Joe had hurt his knee on Friday before the game. It didn't look like he was going to play. The game starts. Everything goes okay for about a quarter, 0-0. Then suddenly, Texas gets two long touchdowns. I talked to one of the assistant coaches for Texas, Pat Culpepper. And Pat said he was talking to his defensive players who wasn't looking at the field. And all of a sudden, he heard a roar. And there was Brian, one of those big hands of his, on Joe's shoulder, walking him onto the field to go into the game. And he comes out and he just passes the ball. Texas can't do anything. They rush 8. They rush 7. They can't stop Namath. I mean, if you talk about your Judy Garland star is born moment, that's what we have on the football field of the Orange Bowl that particular night.
Well, Namath signed with the AFL's New York Jets for a record $427,000. The top pick in the NFL draft signed for $300,000 less. Was that because the owner of the Jets, who was in fact a veteran of the entertainment industry, was looking for something more than a football player?
Yeah, Sonny Werblin was much more interested in what we would call star power. Who was going to sell tickets? Who was going to be the TV star? The AFL has just reached a great contract with NBC Sports, and they are about to cash in. And they need stars. And Namath is the epitome of this kind of player. A gunslinger, straight out of a Western movie. A guy who's hobbling onto the field but can throw the ball better than anybody else we've ever seen. And, make no mistake about it, a guy who's good looking. a guy who is going to woo the audiences.
Ed Krasminski and Randy Roberts are the authors of Rising Tide, Bear Bryant, Joe Namath, and Dixie's Last Quarter. They joined me from WBAA at Purdue University. Randy and Ed, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you.
Thank you. We enjoyed it a lot.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.